The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Once I take you down, it's going to be a long night. I'm not just saying that for fluff, man.
Aljamain Sterling!
Okay, that's it.
No, please, no!
All right, so the referee has called an end to the fight.
I'm here to be the next big thing.
Miranda, hear the man!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I are going to be joined today by Aljamain Sterling, the bantamweight champ, is going to join us. And we also have Miranda Maverick, who I know you were very high on, Matt, who had a really very decisive win over Jillian Robertson this weekend. So I guess we should get started because Aljo is joining us quickly. Where should we start, Matt? Where do you want to start?
I was going to say, you know, you said Miranda Maverick had that victory.
Yeah.
You know, she fought Dean Robertson's protege, Jillian Robertson.
Dean Thomas's, right? Did you say Dean Robertson?
No, I'm almost 100.
Oh, okay, you probably did. Okay, yeah, yeah, Jillian Robertson. Yeah.
Did I say Dean Robertson? No, I said Dean Thomas.
You might not have. I might have just heard it.
Listen, sometimes I can mumble. La, okay. I'm going to start doing those Ron Burgundy exercises before air. Do you do any exercises for your throat or anything?
None that I'm going to say here. Aljo, how are you?
Hey, what's happening?
Sorry, I'm screaming.
Funkmaster, look how professional you look with your... Is that your Vegas studio? What is that?
No, I'm back in New York.
You're back in New York? Wait, yeah. You were just in Florida over the weekend.
Yeah. With the corner of the guys.
Good. Hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
It was a good weekend for the team. I mean, these guys went down there. And if you look on my Instagram, I posted a clip of Justin.
Justin.
Justin Kidd. What's Justin's last name?
Montalvo.
Montalvo. Yeah, I kill every... I can't pronounce shit.
Montalvo's like a tough name.
But anyway, what'd you say?
Montalvo's a tough name.
Montalvo's not that bad.
No, I know.
I call him Kid. Everybody calls him Justin Kid. But he looked, hey man, he finished that shit. He dropped him with a fucking body shot. He was just working that body like nobody. I love that. Jimmy, not like that. Not like rah rah, but like raging. Look like Raging Bull. Like, bah, bah. I love the way he goes to the body, that kid. No fun, Master.
He's dirty, man. The kid's an animal. He puts in a lot of work in the gym, and especially his body work. When he's sparring, man, it's very, very fun to watch. And I think a lot of the guys are like that, man. They bang and they get their good work in. So he puts his time in the gym. The only thing I was nervous about when I saw his opponent, I was like, this kid is yoked. Justin's in the back screaming. He's like, I'm sick of this shit. We're just like, everyone in the back's just staring at him like, yo, what's going on right now? But he went out, he performed, he put on a show, and everyone loved it.
When he was saying I'm sick of this shit, was he sick of it for what? The fact that he's fighting a yoke dude, or the fact that he's sometimes people deal with their nerves before a fight
yes
differently. So yep. was that what it was, Aljo?
I think so. I would say so. That's just him like getting in the zone and getting mentally ready. Like, yeah, I'm about to get into a fight. I'm sick of this shit. It's time to go.
You know what it is? He's still a young kid. We call him the kid, but he's only 24 years old, but he's been fighting since he's 16. And the guy's got like 32 pro fights, like between kickboxing, boxing, and MMA. And MMA, his amateur record. He's got a lot of fights, man. So anyway, listen, we're going to talk about the fights this weekend, but listen, Aljo, how does it feel? Now, it's weird because the way you got it, it's a little like stranger. Actually, it's the strangest because I don't think it ever happened before. But you know, normally it's like, yo, how did winning the belt, like, how does it feel? How has it changed your life? How are things differently now?
Changed my life? I mean,
how have things changed? Not changing your life yet. I'm not saying you're out buying a fucking yacht. I'm saying, like, you know, I mean, how are things differently? I'm sure your phone's fucking ringing and, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I get a lot of phone calls, a lot of text messages and stuff like that. And everyone's calling me champ now, which is pretty hilarious because just like the whole circumstance, like rules are the rules. I mean, I did win by technicality. Yeah. There was still a round to go in the fight. And I won in one of the most bizarre ways possible for someone that should have known the rules. But it is what it is, man. That's pretty much the only difference in terms of how things have changed. Other than that, I'm still living the same old life. Same old guy. I mean, I did spend a little bit of money this time. I bought a couple of nice things for myself and my fiance. We bought some matching Balenciagas, and I normally don't do stuff like that.
What are Balenciagas?
They're the shoes that look like socks.
Oh, okay.
Cardi B always talks about it in her rap songs. And I want to see what the hype was about. I made a little bit of money, some good money, and I want to treat myself for one. So I treated my fiance and myself, and made my investments first and foremost. So my younger fighters, make sure you're making your investments first.
Yep.
And that's just something nice to buy yourself. You know, it's nice to, you know, have some balance.
It was pretty obvious to me too. There were people questioning how hurt you were, which I thought was so silly because it was very obvious to me that was not how you wanted to win the belt. It was so obvious to me when you walked out that you were very upset at having won it that way. It was very, very, I don't know how anybody thought any different.
What kills me is, I get that people were upset about how I supposedly paraded around after the fight, which I didn't do. I was with my friends and family. They posted pictures. I'm not defending myself anymore. I really don't care. At this point, it's either you get it or you don't. If you want to be an idiot about it, then be an idiot about it. I'll just be a troll about it then. I've seen other people get fouled for less damage and not continue. This kid had my head down. I couldn't see where I was going and I got blasted with the knee, but how can you act that? I have no idea. Then now I'm getting tweets. Oh, Stipe got up faster from a punch from Mangano. You fought a guy who's 135 pounds.
You took a knee to the head, though. It's still a knee to a downed head. You were still not ready for a knee.
It's silly, man. It's silly. It's like, let me do that to you. Look at all the other people who've quit from lesser strikes, stuff that bounced off their arm and then hit them in the head and then he quit. But I'm the quitter and I'm the actor. I don't get it. I think if anything, for me to be that tired, and I know why I was that tired, but for me to be that tired and still keep coming forward the entire fight, I was the one pushing the pace of the fight. You could say he tripped me and did whatever, but every time he did a little trip, I got right back up and I was right back in his face throwing combinations. Oh, the combinations didn't do anything. I don't care. I'm the one that's scoring points. I ate his toughest shots and I think he got frustrated and he didn't know what to do with me. I was eating his best strikes, man. And he decided to go for that.
You can't get, listen, I mean, it's weird because you got attention before this because, you know, look where you're at. You know what I mean? You're fighting for the title. Yeah. But now you're getting a lot of negative, like it's all these trolls coming at you. I hope don't get consumed by this bullshit. You know who you are. Like, you know what I mean? I hope you're not reading. I mean, because that's the one reason why I got off Twitter. I'm not saying for anybody else to, but I did that shit ages ago because I'm always like, yo, there's just so many people just saying such negative shit just to try to hurt you. It's like, why do I even got to deal with that shit? But, you know, I don't know, man. This is the one thing I do know is that the worst thing as a fighter and even worse as a champion or it basically the worst thing is not winning or losing in a position where you're at. It's nobody talking about you. That's the horror. That's the worst thing because nobody cares. Nobody cares. You could, you know, it doesn't, you know, if you don't bring any attention, there's a lot of attention because of this. It's not like it's one, because this never happened before. And two, it wasn't a boring fight up until that point. I mean, it was a good fight. it was one of those things is, all right, how is this going to end? You came out strong, when like net strong. And then, you know, got a little winded, whatever it was. It, you know, we have another round to go, round and a half. So it's like, it's a nail biter. And then the ending, you know, it puts you in a position where all eyes are going to, this, you know, this rematch is going to be huge.
Yeah, 100%. And what's fascinating is that people aren't scolding him, and he's the one, he's the moron that committed the foul in a championship level fight. And then people are saying, you shouldn't win the belt. So I should just get the DQ win, but I shouldn't win the belt. I mean, if you're in the championship finals and you mouth off to the ref and then he gives you a tech violation, you know the rules. Yeah. And now this, the team is a tied game in overtime and you have to shoot the free throw and you make it. You just lost your team the game. He just lost himself the championship, lost himself a pay-per-view buy-ins and all this stuff. So now I get to reap the rewards for his stupidity. I mean, I'm not looking at social media as a platform to not have fun, man. At the end of the day, I think people who know me and follow me, they know I like to have fun on social media.
Yeah.
They know I like to troll. I'm very active with the fans, whether it's good or bad. And I think that's what makes me different than everybody else. I think I got thick skin. You know, I've been in the fire before. So it's like, I don't know you. So for your words, you're trying to hurt my feelings. You can't hurt my feelings based on how I've grown up. I've had my feelings hurt well before this, and it's hardened me, you know? So there's nothing anyone can say that I don't know that's going to make me feel bad about myself. I'm a pretty confident guy at this point in my life, you know? So I'm going to have fun with social media. No one's going to make me feel bad about going on it. If you want to write a bunch of chicken emojis on my thing, I'm going to write duck emojis or whatever and tell you I love cats and tell you I love dogs. And you're just going to be like, well, what do I even say to this guy? There's nothing you can say that could bother me. So I don't know you. I don't know you. Just if you want to hate on me, hate on me. If you want to appreciate what I do, it's not easy to get to a championship level in a fight, you know? So the fact that I even put myself in that position says a lot. So the people who know, they're going to respect it. And the people who don't, they're just going to sit there and be haters and doing whatever they're doing with their life. And I don't give a shit. I don't know you. Probably never going to meet you. Doesn't hurt me.
And it, this is not an eye poke. This is not one of those things where you're up against the cage, your hand is up, your hand is down. You are down. I mean, really down. And the ref even said to him, he's downed. Or he's a down. Like, I mean, it was a really fucking flagrant. I can't think of a more damaging thing to do to a guy than a knee to the head. So for the most severe thing you can do to a person in a very, very obvious foul, he just fucked up. I mean, again, I don't think he meant to. It was just in the middle of a fight. He fucked up and he did something terrible and stupid and it cost him the fight. But I don't think there's any question. It's a shitty, flagrant foul. It was a really obvious thing.
Yeah, especially because the ref told him he was down. I was right. Down and he waited a couple of seconds before he decided to throw the knee. So I was like, I'm anticipating that I got to get up smart. So this is what's going through my head. I'm like, don't get kneed in the head. You got to get up smart. And then the one thing I was trying to avoid, I get blasted with anyway. I'm like, this kid's a fucking moron. That's all I could think. Cause it's like, there's multiple ways he could have analyzed the situation. He was super close to me. He could have backed up, extended his arms. He could have looked around. Fight IQ. You could have done anything you wanted to let the fight play out. And if you really think you were going to win, I mean, I've seen Misha Tate come back and choke out Holly Holm after being dominated for 4.5 rounds, you know? So if people want to count me out, they can count me out. But at the end of the day, I wasn't quitting in there. I was the one pushing the guy back and I was the one pushing the tempo of the fight. It's as simple as that. I mean, you could watch it. You could say the guy was ragdolling you. Say whatever you want. The cage was like I was on ice skates the entire time. I couldn't get my feet underneath me to get takedowns. I'm slipping all over the place. I'm like, in my head, I'm thinking to myself, this probably looks so bad, but I'm laughing about it. But I'm like, all I could do is get up and go forward and try to eliminate the thoughts of watching that by putting on more volume. And that's all I could do.
Was his takedown defense a little better than you thought? I'm sorry to interrupt. He had a little bit better takedown defense than I expected. Zero. You expected it?
Zero. No.
What do you mean?
I train with guys way bigger than him, way stronger than him that can actually wrestle. I'm not saying he's incompetent. What I'm saying is his defense is a basic wizard and you grab the wrist. I deal with that all day long in training and people are like, oh, you thought it was, I'm like, hell no. I take down bigger guys. I've taken down guys who wrestle from Dagestan. It's like, these are the guys I'm getting to train with. So for people to even think that this guy who's smaller than me is giving me a physical problem, it's a joke. You can watch the tape and see my feet slide. Even this past weekend, you see guys throwing head kicks. You see guys going for takedowns. They're sliding. They can't get their feet underneath them. Unless you blast them off their feet cleanly, it's hard. Because once and not to take anything away from Ngannou, but even that fight, when Stipe shot in, he tried to take him down, and Ngannou sprawls. His toes are in the ground, and they're not flat. When your feet go flat in a wrestling mat, you slide against the canvas. But his toes were pointed down and he was still sliding backwards. So anyone who knows and can see what they're looking at, they're going to be able to understand like, ha, there is something wrong with the cage that's going on. That's making it more difficult for anyone who utilizes good footwork or takedowns where they get extended and they try to knee slide in because you just can't get the power to drive and like a fulcrum drive them up underneath them because gravity's just keep pushing them away because of the cage and how slick it is. But the spray is supposed to make it drier. But for some reason, it's more slick than it's ever been. And my UFC debut, I complained about that to you guys. And ever since then, I pour water on the canvas, never had a problem. But all of a sudden now I can't even get my feet underneath me to get a takedown. Is that real life? That's a joke, man. It's a joke.
Shit, man. I don't know.
I'm going with three different guys. I'm sparring with three different bodies. I'm going pushing a pace like that first round, all five rounds. There's nothing different other than I couldn't get my feet underneath me. I'm not saying the guy is a scrub, but dude, I should have been able to get way more than one takedown. I shouldn't have him kick my leg and me falling on my ass like I have no equilibrium or any type of balance. That it was just super weird.
Is anybody else like saying it? Like, I mean, I'm not saying
Usman did.
Who else said it?
Usman did.
Usman said it too. Interesting.
Yeah. The Casey Kenney fight, Dominic Cruz. Look at those guys slipping. Kevin Holland throwing head kicks, falling on his ass. And this past weekend, I forgot who was throwing a spinning kick. O'Malley even fell a couple of times. And even against those situations, I think Jillian Robertson versus Miranda Maverick, there were some situations where she couldn't have a footing underneath her either, man. It's just a catch-22 because if you're a stationary fighter, you do well. But if you're a fighter that uses a lot of drive, I keep my legs away from me so I can drive into the ground and put a lot of body weight on my opponent. This way it's heavy. If I get too close, then they get more room for them to move alongside the cage, where if my feet are out further away, I can drive further and get more leverage because my legs are long for the weight class. Yeah, and I can keep you pinned against the cage for way longer. People could call it an excuse all you want, but I know what's what, and I know the adjustments I need to make now knowing going forward. If the cage is going to be like that, I know what to expect, and it's just going to make it a little bit easier for me to make some adjustments. That's all I can do. Control what I can control.
Yeah.
What were you feeling too, Aljo, when you take the knee and you you're laying there and you looked very upset? What was your like mental process? Were you thinking, all right, I'm going to get up, and then you're like, oh, this is like I'm incapacitated, or what was your mind doing, and how did that progress while you were laying there for that couple of minutes?
Well, the first thing I thought was like, well, did I just get kneed in my head? Like I felt like. Big flash of white light. I felt disoriented for sure. It was definitely like the floor was like a little bit like woo, woo, woo. So I tried to stand up, but they told me to sit back down. So I sit down and I laid down and then everything kind of calmed down. So I was like, I think I asked them how much time did I have left? Cause I want to try to see if I could recover. Cause I knew it was going to go to a no contest. So in my head, if it goes to a no contest, I don't think Dana's giving me a rematch for he's probably at least what I think. I've seen Dana do this before. We know how that fight was going to play out. It wasn't looking good for Sterling in the fourth round. We know how the fight was going to play out in the next round. He was fading bad. And that's all I was thinking about. I was just thinking that he's not going to give me a shot to get redemption for an illegal strike that this guy threw. It's going to be a no contest and they're going to move on to the next guy. So those are all the things I was thinking about. So when they announced that I won, that's where the shock came from. I was like, wait, how the hell did I win? I didn't think that was going to be the case whatsoever.
That's fucking crazy. So listen, that's why I don't want to mention names. I don't like to get anybody any more attention than they should get. But there's a certain retired ref that
BJ sucks. Listen, he sucks, man.
Why are you fucking Jimmy what? Sucks? Jimmy.
Well, I don't want to say his name. BJM.
Jimmy, you're a silly. Why would you do that? Anyway, I don't like to draw attention to the people. I don't like to give him any more views and whatever fucking level.
Absolutely.
But the guy thinks he's bigger than the sport. Axe big J hashtag #AxeBigJBGM. I'm like, who does that? Like, are you a ref or are you a like celebrity? I don't understand.
Hey, how about this? if fucking Keith Hackney from UFC number 4 wanted to say that shit on his podcast, he fought a sumo wrestler back in the fucking that, you know, horse race. He almost broke his arm. Keith Hackney run with it. Guy had a mullet. He had a mullet. He gave a rich hand to a fucking sumo wrestler. Listen, he didn't listen. That's not him talking. That's a guy that was really close to the action, like this close for a long time. He never took that knee. All right. So he never took a knee. I don't know. I mean, get the fuck out of here. I can't stand that guy. I can't stand that fucking just so the ego on this guy to talk like that. And not only that, if this sounds like I'm being harsh, he's trying to take away your man card. He's talking yes. about a friend of mine saying, oh, look, man, I don't know. Man, I'm not saying he's acting, but really, dude, you're saying something, obviously, that you shouldn't be saying as a guy that was never fucking fighting in there. Ugh.
So, Aljo, what did he say? He was implying that you didn't, implying that it wasn't a legitimate, that you weren't legitimately as hurt as you said.
Yeah, he applied a couple of things. And then when I called him out for the disqualification rule, I'm like, when has there ever been fights that call for disqualification? Like, what do I need to do to be disqualified in a fight? Apparently, I could poke you in the eye, kick you in the balls multiple times and just get a hard warning. They don't enforce the rules. So what's the point? Like, I always said, like, people were taking my tweet that I said maybe like a 1 or 2 years ago, and they were saying it, but I was saying, you're kind of agreeing with what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you're better off just cheating because you're not going to get penalized for it. So it's like, why not take the free eye poke? Why not take the low blow shot? It's just like, if these guys are going to keep letting us get away with it. And this past weekend, guess what? Justin the Kid Montalvo got kneed in the head for when he was down on one knee. Same thing. And Al and I, we all freaked out in the corner, start cursing. We were infuriated just because it just happened to me. And this kid, I'm pretty sure he watches MMA and probably saw the fight. And does the same exact thing. Justin's in the same exact position as me. He knees Justin in the fucking head. I was so livid. I'm like, yo, were you fucking moron? Like, just people are just, you get in the moment of the fight and you just forget, like, we're not in a street fight. And the ref didn't take a point. What are we doing?
First round, Aljo? What round?
First round. First round.
I missed the first round. How did that round go, by the way?
He had Justin down. He had Justin's back. He went for a couple of chokes. Justin defended. He got a deep guillotine choke. Justin defended. He got out, lit him up. And then he went for another takedown. They got stuck on the cage. And then he grabbed Justin's neck. Justin went down to a knee, so he didn't get kneed in the head. And this kid blasted him in the head with the knee. And the ref stops it, doesn't take a point. But just good thing Justin actually had his hand up. So, you know, it wasn't a clear-cut, clean shot like it was for mine. But
I love hearing about him escaping those positions. Because this kid does that. Justin's been he's been like kickboxing grown men since he's like 16, 17.
Yeah.
And he's wiry on the floor, but he rolls with all our high level guys at my academy. And he's not in that quick tap club. You know what I mean? Guys, it looks like his neck's snapping in half from a rear naked and he's fucking still looking him in the face and getting out. And so I love hearing that he used that in a fight. You know what I mean? Cause when he stands up, he's as relaxed as they come.
Yeah.
Jimmy, look at my Instagram after this. I'm telling you, you're going to like it, you know, because I don't know. It makes me happy. But anyway, the knee, listen, Aljo, let's get to some positive shit. Where do we go from here? When is this rematch happening? Do we have any idea?
Well, in December, I was having some really chronic neck issues again, which is something I've been always talking about for years now. It's almost every single fight I deal with this, and it gets progressively worse. Okay. After the fight in December 12th, when we were originally supposed to fight, I was going to get the surgery done for my neck. Postponed it, took some time off, had the wrestling match, didn't really wrestle for that match because I didn't want to hurt my neck any further. And then had the wrestling match, got ready for the second training camp. We had the fight. He slammed me on my head, which I probably should not have let him done. I probably could have done some things to not get slammed on my head in that first round where he dumped me. He dumped me pretty good. That I would give him some credit because I was like, oh, man, I can't believe I just let him like lift me up and dump me. Like that probably looked really bad. And it did. I felt it, you know.
Yeah.
And when he kneed me in the head, after the adrenaline came down and a couple of days went by, I tried to work out, like try to hit pads. And my tricep was just firing in a weird way where it was like twitching. It felt weird. It was hurting. So that was all I did. And then the next day I tried to do push-ups and I couldn't. So then I tried to do pull-ups and I couldn't. And I got checked out and I'm starting to get some muscle weakness and some atrophy in my left arm. So
I'm not laughing at that, Jim. I'm just laughing like you're twitching. You can't do push-ups. It sounds like we're talking about another friend of mine.
I know. Yeah. It's
you can't do pull-ups. You can't do push-ups. Yeah, I get it. You
can't get erections.
Yeah, it was like to be me. You turned into Jim Norton, Aljo.
You might be turning into Jimmy.
I thought you were saying Weidman, because that's how he started.
Oh,
too.
Oh, shit. No, that means you're turning into a superhero. That'd be a compliment.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry, Jimmy, I apologize.
Don't. That's the first thing I thought of.
I thought he was. At first, he said the blink in, the push-up. I go, you better stop. You know?
So wait, so you can't do it now. This is your neck, or what is the actual?
Yeah, I have a disc herniation that's been chronic for years now at this point. And I don't know if it was maybe the knee or the takedown where I let him dump me on my fucking head like an idiot. One of those, or a combination of both, probably put me over the edge, man. And if I don't get my muscle back within like the next week, I'm just going to have to get the surgery done. So we're trying to get it scheduled, and it's just an artificial disc replacement, which takes 3 months to heal so that I can start doing cardio and stuff like that. And probably have a fight within 5 or 6 months. So that's the plan right now. I want to beat this guy's ass. He deserves an ass whooping, and I want to knee him back in the fucking head. I want to knee this guy back in his fucking head. He deserves a knee to the goddamn head. I mean, I know he was probably pissed off with the flying knee I hit him with, but now I got like a vendetta. Like, I have to knee this guy back in his head.
I can't wait for this rematch, Jimmy.
Yeah.
It'd be so exciting. I mean,
hopefully before the end of the year. Yeah.
Yeah. Before the end of the year.
You guys are a good, like, I smell a nice, like, rivalry, like, that could be going on for a while. Like, you guys are like polar opposites. It's and you're both badasses, and you know what I mean? So I don't know, like, he's just this hardened Russian guy from Siberia. Looks like he's fucking like running in the snow, and I don't know, man. He's I will break you type of guy. And you got that charisma just coming out of you from the, what happened to the gold chain? Are you bringing that fucking thing back? The big one?
I did. I wore it.
Oh, you did wear it. Oh, yeah. I don't see you wearing it lately.
Ray had it
like
on.
The real expensive stuff. Like, yeah. But anyway, you got that flash about you. You know what I mean? I love it. So it's a good like contrast of styles, and even down to the fighting. I don't know. I love it. It's exciting. It's like a haggler coming towards a fucking Sugar Ray. Jimmy, right? Is it just me? I love the clash of him and Jan.
It's like Drago and Apollo Rocky. Creed, except I'm not going to die.
Oh, Apollo.
You know
Apollo.
Dude, listen to me.
Except I'm not going to die in there.
I 100% was going to say Apollo Creed, but then I remember how that fucking shit ended, and I stopped myself. Yeah. That's why I was like, oh, he's kind of – and then I stopped myself. But anyway, Apollo Creed was a bad motherfucker, though. Let's just call it. He had an off night with Drago. And Drago was fucking.
That's a really off night. That's a really bad night.
He wouldn't have passed no fucking USADA that fucking.
No, he would not have.
That Dolph Lundgren.
No. I love the fact that Bridget Nielsen, that's where I think Stallone met her. I don't know if it was from that movie or not.
Red Sonja?
She sent him naked pictures. That was how they met. At least that's the rumor.
Yeah.
That's so hot.
Bridget Nielsen.
Oh, my God.
She was in the movie Cobra.
Yeah. Oh, was it Cobra she was in?
She was in Cobra. Well, she was in Cobra with Sylvester Stallone.
He had the worst name ever in that. Marion Cabretti. Ugh. Cobra. Fucking Cobra unwatchable.
All I know is they do they do like the close-up of the bad guy's lips, and he's like, you're going to die. Wait, you're going to die, pig. They said that just the lips.
Yeah.
And he's fucking, fucking creepy. Aljo, I want to tell you guys what I've been watching. And I'm telling you right now, I get so excited when I find a new series. Jimmy.
Top Boy.
Aljo looks excited. You're sipping your coffee and looking at the.
I want to know what you're watching.
Come on, man. Porn. I'm really excited about it.
Oh.
I watched. What'd you say? You guessed what?
Porn.
Well, you want to know what else I'm watching?
Yes.
Listen, Warrior. You ever watch Warrior on fucking. I'm watching on HBO Max. No, anybody? No. Warrior? Michael Bisping was in, I think, the
oh, all right.
It's about Chinatown in San Francisco in like 18, like 78, like right after like the Civil War or whatever. So it's just, and it's like got this, it's about these Chinese gangs in Chinatown and the main guy of it. Like, it's about a like kung fu kind of action, violent as all heck. usually the kung fu unrealistic stuff will not, it'll turn you off, but not in this. It's kind of like you got to use disbelief. Look at it like a, it's almost like a kung fu slash gunslinger type vibe. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Aljo, you should check it out, man. It's good. Anybody? Anybody want to chime in with Warrior?
No, no, I mean, I just can't take another Warrior show. I just can't take another show about.
God.
Watch Top Boy. Watch Top Boy.
What is Top Boy? You said that. I want to know about Top Boy.
No, but don't Google that because you will get a lot of results you're not happy with.
Sorry. What is Top Boy, Aljo? What show is that?
It's like the UK guys, the UK gangster them.
I heard that. And it's different than the other one that I go in and out of, the Peaky Blinders. I go in and out of Peaky Blinders. You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes I never watched that.
I'm like, Peaky Blinder. God, I can't. I'm a fucking child. But I can't. The name is just, it's embedded in my head. But I'm really, really enjoying Warrior. Guys, give that a shot. I'm telling you. Holy fuck. I love the characters, man. And it's violent as fuck, Aljo. Aljo, you have HBO Max?
Nah.
Well, tell the 12 guys crashing at your couch in fucking Vegas to chip in. And everybody chips in a dollar. You got that fucking HBO Max.
Hey, did you get, by the way, did you update your posters? That's what I'm trying to see. Aljo has all these great posters behind him of like fights he's been in. Where is your most recent one? Do you have that poster yet?
I do, but it's actually in Vegas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I actually forgot
it. You have it hanging?
Yeah, I want to hang it up now that you mention it. I didn't even realize that. Because they didn't That's give the us first one thing for I the, thought of. The Sandhagen fight. I didn't get one. We didn't get one. So I was actually surprised that we had one for this.
Why didn't you get one?
They just never did posters. Because that was like the beginning of COVID. I think I fought on the face the first or second pay-per-view for COVID. Oh, I think the first. Because Henry Cejudo had one, but...
That was, yeah.
That was like still kind of like on the fence.
And there was no poster for yours?
For Sandhagen, no.
Okay.
What are you doing with the with your Vegas house and your New York house? Are you going like are you like a snowbird, whatever you call that shit? Are you going down in the winter? Are you staying down? Are you just going back and forth whenever you feel like it? What's going on with that?
Pretty much whenever I feel like it, but I got to get my 6 months in to keep my residency for Nevada. This way I just pay Nevada taxes, which is no state income tax. So I save a little bit of money there. Well, not a little bit, a lot of it. So that's a big help. And I still got my house here in New York.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of the Yankees and other baseball players will do that, like in Tampa.
Yep.
Because the spring training is down there. So you have to spend X amount of days. It's like one more day there or some shit than you do. Yeah. And that way you don't have to pay the... How do you prove where you are? Airfare will do it. But how do you... If you can prove that you are in one location more, you can claim that as your primary residence and you can pay less tax. I mean, how do you prove it? Just with airfare receipts?
Well, they have to audit you. And I think when they audit you, they check like your credit cards and all that and see where you're like making payments and purchases from. And that's pretty much the main trick from what I've learned. And I think with the... They might track your... If you try to drive, they might track that. I don't know how hard they go, but that's a possibility. So I'm just going to do it the right way and just get my time in. And I enjoy the weather is a lot nicer during the day in Vegas. So for the wintertime, at least. So that's pretty much what I'm doing.
I think Jimmy was going to tell you to lend Puma your credit card out there for like, and just start spending out there. Like,
that's right.
You know, just buy, a burger here and there or some shit.
Yeah, and then you spend cash, but they'll ping your cell phone. They'll get you. There's no way in a technology-driven age to hide. You just can't. So make sure you're in Vegas. Plus, it doesn't suck being in Vegas. It's great to be in Vegas.
It's a good time. Yeah.
Did you watch the fights over the weekend?
Not all of them. I was actually just rewatching them now. The ones that I missed, which was pretty much all of them, except the main event. That's the only one I got. The main event, and I got to watch the Sean O'Malley fight this morning, and Jillian Robinson. I watched that one last night. Her and Miranda Maverick. That was a good fight. I was surprised it was 30-27 on two scorecards. It should have been 29-28. But
that shows you, Aljo, that a lot of times with these judges, they got very short memories. I think Courtney Casey was a victim of this too recently, where they'll give you can be winning the majority of the round, then they see how the round ends. Like, because that round, she was controlling her the majority of that round. And then as far as Jillian Robertson was controlling Miranda, the majority of that round. And then Miranda you know, weathered it. And then got out, and she was pretty fresh when she got out, and started trying to lay it on her. But she didn't really land anything clean, as I remember.
Yeah,
I think she was just going after her.
Yeah.
So that's what they see. And they gave her the round. Two out of three judges gave her that round,
it's crazy.
Which was crazy to me. That was almost a 10-8 in the other way. A 10-8 in the other direction, where she was all over her until that last, whatever it was, maybe 20 seconds.
Yeah, like 20 seconds. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, really? So unless she did some bad damage, like beat her up or almost finished her in that 20 seconds. Come on, man. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that was awful. And there was another one recently where there was a knockout and they told it was a guy and they said, hey, you know, you were ahead on the judges' scorecards anyway, even if you didn't get that knockout.
It was Grant Dawson.
That's probably what I'm thinking. Yeah. Hey, by the way, the incredible win by Ngannou. I mean, Stipe, look, I know that heavyweights are going to be different in weight, but giving away 29 pounds, and it's just it's crazy. And I know that was probably to stay fast inside that small octagon. I think he probably wanted to be able to try to tire Francis out. What do you think the fact that he gave away 12 more pounds than he did in the first fight?
Was it that much lighter than the first one?
Yeah, 12 pounds difference. There was a 17 pound difference in the first one. I want to say 263 to 246. And then this time it was whatever he came in at 34 to 263.
Yeah, it was a good fight, man. I mean, Ngannou looked so much different in terms of like how poised he was and taking his time and not rushing in, not swinging crazy haymakers, using his jab and those couple big leg kicks he threw, which looked like they did some serious damage. Like, I don't want to get kicked by that. And I think Stipe just made one mistake. He cracked him with the right hand, thought he had him hurt worse than he did, tried to rush in. And, man, and Ngannou's got those long arms and just do that left hook and hit him right on the button and folded him backwards. I mean,
I wonder if his leg's okay. The way his leg is very strange. I hope his leg is okay.
You know what weapon Ngannou seems to have too? Was it against JDS he did it or Curtis, he did it where during the takedown where he kind of scoots around to the back and he's so strong and his arms are so long, he does that wraparound punch, which he nailed Stipe with. And I might have been Junior that he nailed with, but very few guys can kind of scoot to the back that quick and wrap around and hurt you as effectively as he can. And I forget who else he used that on. Yeah, but he really hurt Stipe with that punch.
I wonder what's next now. Do they have the trilogy? Do they make that John Jones fight? I mean, what do they do?
Is Jones or Derek Lewis?
Well, I think Stipe deserves another fight with him. I mean, the guy's the greatest ever as far as what he's accomplished.
That yeah.
Yeah.
I almost don't want to see him get hit. I don't want to see the guy's lights go out like that again. I mean, that could happen to anybody, but geez, man. I mean, I don't know. He might have to take some time off. I don't like anybody's light. I mean, that was rough.
There was an interesting stat, and I read this the day after. They said that since their first fight, Stipe has taken 311 significant strikes and Ngannou has taken 34. That like before this fight. So the fact that Stipe has taken damage and he did get knocked out once, he's fought a lot more rounds. I think if they fight again, it's going to be very tough for Stipe just because he's taken a lot more damage in that time.
Yeah, he's a little older too. He's definitely got to take some time. He said he's got his son that's going to be born in the summertime.
Yeah.
So he's going to take some downtime with that. So which I think would be good.
Yeah.
We got Murray in the radio.
All right, Aljo. Good talking to you, man. Look, I'm happy for you that they gave you the belt because, again, it's going to be more money, more pay-per-view stuff for you when you come back. I know that's not how you wanted to win it. It was obvious when you dropped it in the cage. This is not what you wanted. But, you know, all things being equal, what he did was disqualifiable. And there's no reason that you should have to wait around hoping you get a rematch when a guy does something that is as aggressive as kneeing you when he knows you're down. And, you know, I mean, I think you're totally justified in getting the belt. So look forward to seeing you fight again.
You know what you have to do from here, you know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, you know, the next fight goes decisively your way. You make a highlight reel of this guy. No one's talking about this fucking bullshit.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's it. How long are you in town for?
I really don't know until I get the surgery scheduled and – yeah.
All right, man. I'll hit you up later, man. See when you need to stop by the school.
All right.
All right, man.
Good talking to you, Aljo.
All right, later, fellas.
All right, take care, man.
Later, Funk Master.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
There she is.
Hello.
Hi.
What's How up, Miranda?
Hi, I'm doing well.
I feel like I just seen you. When were you at my school?
I came up 2 weekends before my fight. So I was there. Let's see. I'm trying to remember the exact date.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks before. Yeah. So like traveling that close to a fight. Now, what's that about? I know you were getting work in on the road, but... Is that just...
Well, I had plans already before I got my fight rebooked, and I couldn't really, you know, avoid them, unfortunately. Went up there for something important, and then aside from that, also had that documentary that I was getting ready for, and I had to travel to Michigan for that. But, yeah, just made sure I got in work, and I was only gone for the weekend and headed right back. So, honestly, I would already had a break that weekend anyway.
That documentary you were talking about?
Yeah.
What's that? Yep. What's that about?
It's After the Cage. I'm actually part of it. Matt Hughes is in it. Dan Severn is talking about just some of the, you know, OG fighters, like their, you know, futures after they were done with the cage, and then showed some of the up and comers too from the women's division. So I had me, Alicia Zapatella, who's an atomweight, Brooke Mayo, a few other girls.
Well, what are you that are you? Are you still going for your PhD in organizational psychology? And I also want to ask exactly what is that? Like, what's the difference between that and just psychology?
Right. So, yes, I am getting my PhD in industrial organizational psychology. I'll have my master's hopefully by July, I think, is the deadline. So I'm hoping to have it around June and done with that. My classes for the PhD will be done by December. And then it's just dissertation and research from there to get the PhD. What that is more like business psychology is how I simplify it for people. So I'm kind of like a business consultant. I go in and do the testing for new employees. I'm the one that looks at, you know, how to make better outcomes for a company, kind of like a glorified human resources specialist, except I also work in the cost risk analyses department.
Now, when you do your dissertation, that's a big paper you write at the end, and you have to come up with what you want to write it on. How do you determine that? And do you know what you want to write yours on?
I'm not sure what I want to write my dissertation on quite yet. My thesis is actually over how COVID-19 affected gyms and gym employees. So that one was interestingly associated with sports psychology as well. And I'm hoping I can connect the same kind of thing for my dissertation, whether it be continuing to look at the effects of COVID-19 or whether it just be different demands and resources available for gyms around the nation or, you know, something of that sort. I want to work with employee satisfaction and positive outcomes and see how to make those better for specifically the sports environment.
So you said you grew up in the Midwest. Is that right?
Yes, sir. In Missouri.
And I see the family farm. I'm reading about you working on the family farm. You have a farm? You grew up on a farm?
Yeah. So right now my dad actually has a ranch in Missouri. We have about 800 acres right now and hoping to be growing that myself soon enough. But we have land out there. We have beef cattle that we've had since I was a kid. And as I grew up, we actually moved around a lot. My dad was a real estate developer, but more like rural properties. He would buy up land that was kind of like junk land or hunting land and clean it up and make it into a show place, sell it and go right to work on the next one, and took us kids with him. So I grew up building fence every other year, you know, and working with cows, pulling calves, taking up 50-pound feed sacks and carrying them on my shoulders and dropping buckets off everywhere.
They do a thing now where you could hug a cow for money. Did you hear about that? Like in LA, a friend of mine said she wants to go and hug a cow. Like you can do a thing where you could hug a cow.
You might have to get into that department.
I guess they're big, sweet animals. Are they nice or are they kind of shitty?
Ours are super nice, but they can scare people because we'll like yell stampede to people who don't know them. But if you like rattle a candy wrapper near our cows, they'll all like come running at you for like food. And they're just like super nice big dogs. Like they'll just like,
but they don't trample you. They just run and stop.
Some are mean, but we don't have mean cows. So
now do you feel bad when you eat a hamburger? And no. You're petting the owl all day, you're hanging out, you run the cute, they run the candy, like the big hot doggies, and then you go in and you have like a big sloppy Joe. Yeah. You feel bad about that?
No, I feel like we give them a good enough life, you know, we can have a chunk out of them once in a while. It's not a big deal. As long as it's not our little pet one, we're pretty happy with it.
Well, this explains working on the farm. That's why she's got that Matt Hughes strength. She's working on a farm since she's a kid. Right? You explain, because let me tell you, one thing I noticed about this fight over the weekend with yourself and Jillian Robinson is your endurance. Like the way you just you had to weather a storm in that second round, but the second you got back to your feet, it's as if you never hit the ground. It's like you just put your foot on the gas and came in just blazing. And you just thought where'd you get that from? What are you doing?
Part of that honestly was part of the game plan. Like we know, you know, like everybody knows as soon as you take somebody down, you beat them up, you're just expecting them to get back up and be dead tired. Yeah. Like you're going to be dominant. You're going to be able to keep them there for a second. And my view was, even if I get on bottom, I'm going to get up and make her pay for every second that she kept me there, you know? And so get right back up. To be honest, I was dying. My throat hurt. My chest was hurting, you know, like felt like I was running out in the cold for 5 miles, you know, but I was like, get up and go. She's not going to expect this. She's not going to be ready for it. And it's time to turn the judges' heads around. And I feel like I did.
Wouldn't it be nice to ask for a cup of water then? Like, wouldn't you like to be a quick, just to get a sip, just a little parch. Wouldn't that be a nice time to just have a sip?
Maybe. Or like a second to breathe. I remember I went back to the corner right after the bell rang and I kept like shoving the water away with my coach's hand. I was like, I can't drink right now. I'll die. I'll like choke on it trying to get a breath. So it took me a second to even get a drink.
It's crazy. And you looked so fresh, even especially going to that third round. And that's what really like made that. I mean, the first, even though it was 30-27, that second round was close, but you really did win over those judges by going after her like a rabid dog. It was great. Yeah. It was exciting.
Thank you. I feel like, you know, I know that was controversial to a lot of people. I think it was easily obvious I won, but yeah. I think that second controversial to people, but at the same time, like she might've controlled, but she did no damage, you know, and if anything, it probably looked better because she was touted as this BJJ artist and I was able to defend everything pretty competently and composed. Yeah. Once I got back up, was ready to go. And I think it's just a matter of, you got to put damage on people. If you're going to put them on the ground, you got to go. Your judges are getting smarter and aware of what jujitsu is and, you know, the different positions. And I wasn't ever in danger in that second round.
Now, growing up on the farm, when did the training begin with the martial arts?
That's hard to even say. My dad does not have formal training. You know, people assume he did, but we trained from a very young age. You know, even I never knew it, but I was learning jiu-jitsu my whole life growing up. You know, like my dad didn't just like throw us on the ground and roughhouse with us. Like we were learning arm bars. I was learning how to heel hook. Like I was grabbing actual things that he would teach me from watching the UFC, to be honest, or looking up YouTube. But he never had any formal training. But by the time I got into actual jiu-jitsu, when I was 16 and went to a gym, my first class, I was beating up all their teenagers, you know, just from what I had learned at home. And I was really strong, I'll be honest. Like, can't go in high school and decide, oh, I'm going to lift weights now and become stronger than somebody who's basically been doing that since birth. You know, like my bones don't bend as easy. My tendons are bigger just because I'm 3 years old, lifting more weight than I weigh, just because that's what I do every day. It wasn't even like a thing of thinking, hey, I need to lift this. It was chores need done. I'm going to go do it.
Well, Jimmy, that's that. Yeah. That's true, Jimmy. That's that farm strength.
There is something about farm strength that really, like, you never want to fight somebody that grew up on a farm. It's just because everything you do requires strength or physical endurance, and you get fucking thick, strong wrists just from doing daily things. So going into the gym is like an extension of your daily life instead of something new that most people do.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell a couple funny stories, like, and these sound like I'm making them up, but there's been a couple times where my dad's like, you get a hold of that cow and you keep her on the ground. And this is a 1,200-pound, well, maybe not even that heavy, but like 800-pound cow. And you're having to like hold on to their head and just hold them on the ground, whether it be we're pulling their calf or, you know, giving them medicine, whatever. And you've got to just hold them on the ground as somebody that weighs like 120 pounds at the time. And I'm just like, and struggling. Or you go, you grab a calf to tag them and you got to grab them by the tail as they're kicking and trying to run and throw them on the ground. Like just that kind of stuff. You don't get that from a bench press.
Have you ever taken a good kick from a horse or a cow, like a good hoof?
I've definitely taken a good kick or two from a cow.
Where did they get you?
Once in the arm. I still have a pretty big scar from it, from a milk cow that kicked the crap out of me one time. And then once just in the stomach, but that's fine. Like, you can take that.
Now, what were you doing? Were you trying to milk the cow or did you just sneak up on it and it just slammed you?
I was trying to milk the cow that time. I was about 12 years old. Yeah.
And she kicked you.
Yeah, and then we beat her up.
Yeah, you gotta be careful. Like I'm always afraid of getting kicked in the face when I get behind a horse, or it always just scares
me. You've got to understand their mechanics. Like they have to raise up and go out before they can kick you. It's not like their hips go sideways, right? So as long as you're like parallel to them, they can't really get you in the face.
Yeah, but you don't understand how bad my reflexes are. Like you don't understand how slow I am. So if they did raise their leg and kick, I would probably just go, "What are they doing?" And then I'd have a hoof in my fucking mouth. So yeah, it's a scary life. A scary life. Did you get stung by a lot of bees growing up? I'm obsessed with bees.
Oh, my goodness. What? It's funny that you asked that. We actually own honeybees. We had three hives at one point. And funny story is, I'm the one, like my dad was like, you can be in charge of them if you want to. And I was like, yes, please. So I go, I buy honeybee hives at a pretty young age. It was like one of my first investments, I guess you'd call it. I love honey. My whole family loves honey. So we decided to have them ourselves. And found out 4 stings into it that I'm basically deathly allergic to bees.
Oh.
And
oh no, really?
Every time they would sting me, I got stung in the face. This isn't a joke. Like every time I ever got stung, I got stung like here or on the nose. Like every time I'll get stung on the face and I would get super swelled up, look like Elephant Man, right? And we thought I was just really allergic, took me to the hospital and stuff. Find out after another time of bees attacking me, I got stung like 5 times, but this time it was like on the arm. I got stung like on the hip, didn't swell up at all. It just looked like a little mosquito bite. So all it was the face was really sensitive. And we kept the bees and we still have 2 hives, I think, and get honey from them every year.
So wait, do you walk over there without a mask? Cause I've seen videos of guys taking the beehives down and they smoke them a little bit. And they have no gloves and no mask. It's crazy.
I definitely wear the bee suit every time we get honey from them. But you can walk by bees. You know, they're not violent. It's not African bees coming after you or like Winnie the Pooh in the cartoon. Like you have to torture them before they'll do anything. But every once in a while, you know, one will get mad and like, you know, you'll have a kid. We'll be playing by them, or you'll have a dog bark at them too loud and get too close and they'll come after you. And that's usually when I would get stung. That I was weed eating one time and got stung because I was a little too close to them making sound, I guess. So. You know, just different stuff. But generally, it's not like the cartoons where you have a whole hive after you or anything.
Yes.
A few of them.
They're not like yellow jackets.
No, no.
Yeah, I have a terrible fear. I go on YouTube and I watch beehive removal. So living on a farm, I just think like there's nothing but like you're begging for a lot of bees to be in a corner somewhere of a barn. And that's the part that I would hate.
Yeah, well, sometimes we've actually seen a swarm before and got them. It's just super cool. You know, you have so many unique experiences growing up on a real farm. I have people tell me all the time, I grew up on a farm, and then you find out they had 20 acres and like one chicken. And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
So you have no farm. But, you know, perspective is everything, right? And for me, I'm like, yeah, I grew up like working hard. And I can honestly say I grew up like an adult man as far as farm work and what I was doing. And to be honest, now my brother's taken over most of it and he gets all the torture of the farm work. And now I'm off getting my education.
Good for you.
Man, so much chore for 23 years old.
Yeah.
Miranda.
Thank you.
You know, you don't got time for video games and nonsense. You're on the farm. And I love hearing Jimmy, like this, like you hear about these stories of Jimmy. I love hearing from you too, Jimmy.
Oh, sorry, I missed
you. I love hearing stories about her with the cows and pinning them down. Like you hear her babies wrestling bears. You got Miranda pinning down cows. These are the stories you want to hear. This is where you get that strength from. I was wondering, you see her in when she's in the octagon, man. I'm like, what's her workout routine? You know, it's pinning down cows.
I have like women especially ask me in the gym all the time, like your shoulders. How do I get your shoulders? How do I get your legs? And I'm like, blah, go work on my farm for like 10 first years of your life. I work out, I guess. I have my strength and conditioning I do every once in a while. But to be totally honest, I'm not super like I don't keep to that near as much as I keep to the other priorities of training, just because that's not the focus, you know, and I don't really lift weights on a regular regimen. I do more of like strength and conditioning stuff, cardio stuff. So I just have like a lot of good genetics. I'll be honest. I got great genetics for building muscle and grew up on a farm. And then aside from that, pick people up and do jujitsu and MMA with them all the time.
As far as competition goes, how many, did you have a bunch of amateur fights or no?
I had 8 amateur fights.
Okay. And how many, you have jujitsu matches?
Oh, I don't even know how many to tell you jujitsu matches. I've had hundreds of jujitsu matches, probably up to 200 before I ever got into MMA.
Well, that's, this makes sense because you look so comfortable. You only, that was your second fight in the UFC and you look so comfortable in there. You look very comfortable. Were you always comfortable competing?
Yeah. And you know, jujitsu gets more and more comfortable. The more you fight MMA, it just becomes such an unthreatening thing. Like jujitsu, I'm like, I can tap and I'm out. Like, it's not a big deal, you know, to where it's like my life's on the line, or at least that's how I think of it every time I go into that cage. It's the most serious sport in my life I'll ever be in. Your life is on the line. But jujitsu, now I get made fun of by other people who are getting ready for competitions because I'll be like napping on the sidelines and they'll call my name and I'm like, okay, all right, I'll go. And I'll be in IBJJF like PANS last year. I won PANS and I was just like literally over there coaching some of the kiddos. And then they're like calling my name and I'm like, yeah, I'll be there in a second. And like go in there and go win my match. And they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, this is nothing to me. You know, like one, I'm not getting paid. Two, I'm not going to get hurt and I'm going to win. Like, it's not even pressure to me anymore, to where MMA is a different story.
I love it. That's awesome.
Well, you look great. It was really, really a fun fight to watch. And do you have anybody lined up in your mind for next, whoever they give you, obviously, but is there anybody who you're looking at? Like, yeah, that's who I would like.
I told him in the after fight interview, and I hope it happens. I want Antonina. I want one Shevchenko sister and then the next.
Sure.
I want to bide my time. I'm not saying I want the title shot right away. You know, I want to improve as I move up as well. I don't think I'm anywhere near my prime. And I think I continue to improve in between every fight, but I'm in the, I think, as of today, I'll be in the top 15. And if that actually happens, I want to just keep working my way up the ladder, you know, one fight at a time. But yeah, I'd like to fight Antonina. I'd like to fight Caitlin Chookagian. Somebody like that, throw them at me. People keep entertaining the idea of me and Macy, and I'll address that right here now. My only thing against that, you know, I get the attention that it gets. You know, we're both young fighters. We're both the futures of the sport, as they want to call it. But my view is there's a lot of older girls in the division, you know, that honestly, somebody needs to just wreck ball and get them out of there. And we have all these young girls like fighting against each other, even me and Jillian, you know, she's a young girl up and coming and they keep ruining one of us, you know, by always putting the young girls against each other and knocking them down. While there's 7 or 8 girls that are older that have just been stagnant in the division now for a while. Like, why not let me and Macy fight once we're up there and then we'll fight each other? That's my opinion. But whatever fight they give me, I'm ready to go.
You want to clean all these old people out and then you and Macy
fight. Quite a stagnant division. They whine about it all the time, how the flyweight division has no contender and then they won't let anybody have a chance.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, we'll be seeing you again, Miranda. It. Absolutely. It was great talking to you and congratulations on an awesome fight. You looked really, really good.
Thank you.
So much fun to talk to. We'll talk to you again.
Yeah, Miranda.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Nice talking to you.
Take care, Miranda.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
I guess we should talk about the fights for a couple of minutes before we wrap up. We talked about Francis. I think that, you know, I know John Jones is a really smart businessman and he's looking at making more money. Of course, that's the smart thing. I think he'd be crazy to not take this Ngannou fight right now. But I'm just as interested to see Ngannou, Derek Lewis. Even though it's a rematch, I would be just as interested to see that. Cyril Gane is working his way up. I don't think he's ready yet for a championship match, but he's another guy in that division that has looked really incredible. I don't think he's ready for Francis yet, but Cyril Gane and Francis somewhere down the road might be an interesting fight. But I think Francis against Derek Lewis, if John Jones doesn't want it, is the next fight to make.
I love seeing the reaction of people in his hometown, Francis's hometown.
Cameroon?
Yes, Cameroon, yes. And they showed them reacting with just when he won. It was the live reaction. It was really nice.
He's a nice man, too. We've talked to him a lot. As much as I love Stipe, and I was sad to see him go down in the second round, because, again, he's such a great fighter and he's a nice guy. I was happy for Francis, too, because, like, you know, Stipe has had the belt. He's lost it. He's gotten it back. Like, he's tasted all that great stuff. Yeah. And I was happy to see Francis get it as well. And because Ngannou, it's not like he's 25 years old. I mean, he's also 34. So yeah. I was really happy to see him get it. And he's a really nice guy. And he seemed genuinely thrilled to have the belt.
It makes it very exciting.
Yep.
And well, I mean, listen, I think Stipe has nothing to prove. He should just take some time off and and rest up. It's great. He's having his second child. He's having a son soon. So, you know, listen, the guy's already a legend. And I mean, things are exciting though. I want to see what's next for Francis.
Yep.
You know, what a devastating heavyweight champion, you know?
Yeah.
Let's just say really quick, Vicente Luque versus Tyrone Woodley. Even though Woodley lost to Darschuk in the first round, yeah, at 356 in the first round, yeah, you know, Woodley did come to fight, though.
He looked great until that, yeah.
And Vicente Luque, you know, he's just a stud, and I like him. He's very respectful, but he's like
– yeah.
Got that samurai quality to him. Like he's got a well-rounded fighter. And I'll tell you, Woodley had his moments. He was, that deservingly, they got fight of the night, I believe.
Yeah.
And deservingly so, because it was just a round of just, you know, Woodley did go for it. So I did love that. He went out on a shield.
Yeah, he did.
You know, no honor lost there. And I want to see what's next for Vicente Luque, because he's always been a stud. The only time I ever seen him, you know, have any kind of hard time was with Wonderboy, which is
figures him out easily.
Yeah. The guy's just, you know, he's just on a different level. I'm not a different level. Like, just in a way he is, in the sense that he's just so unique that he's a problem for pretty much everybody.
He's a fucking nightmare to fight. Nobody wants to deal with Wonderboy. He's a fucking nightmare. Because he kind of leans in, he backs out, he's all over the place, his feet never stop moving. He's a fucking nightmare to have to deal with. Sean O'Malley, again, looked really good, but there is still that, like, him going for that knockout. He made almost the same mistake twice, and the second time he did actually really, really, Almeida, he really pounded him while he was on the ground there with that last shot. But that first going for that highlight thing, again, he's a young guy and he wants to look good. He kind of admitted that, but you got to be very fucking careful of that, because it almost cost Rosenstrike wound up winning doing that, but he shouldn't, that fight against Overeem, he should not have gotten that. The referee should not have allowed that to happen. And in this case, you do that, the walk-off home run, you shouldn't be looking for that in these situations. I get how it feels great, but like, look at fucking Ngannou. He never looks for that. You have to literally get five guys to drag him off. He's never going to leave it to question. He did it to Overeem when he was down. He did it to Stipe this time when he was down.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I like that it happened, because it gave us more action.
Sure.
Look at the way it ended. Just
devastating.
It was devastating. Yeah, it was brutal. And he got to show more skills. I love the fake look away, almost as if he's going to spin, and he comes back with that right hand. I love his feints.
Yeah.
Because then people start biting him, and then he starts spinning, and then he's going back to that right hand. He's funny, because he's like, I don't know if it's that I punch hard or that I'm like quick and accurate. Like, he's very accurate. He lands right on the chin, and it's right. And he's very good with his range. And I'll tell you, listen, we talked about on here how I wasn't, I even said I wasn't crazy how he handled his loss with Chito Vera. And he's what I do respect, and I think it's hysterical that he's sticking with it though.
Yeah.
So he's hearing it and be like, yeah, I don't care. I'm still saying I'm 30. No.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny because when they announce it,
yeah,
they're like in 12 and one or whatever. I think it was 12 and one. And he's like, he's doing the old thing, like, oh, like he's like, you know what I mean? Like he's showing that, he's not considering that a loss. He's saying that he's undefeated. So in his mind, he's, you know, he's sticking with that. So I want to see what's next for him, man.
Yeah.
I wonder if like, I mean, I don't know. I think Dominic Cruz is calling him out. I think that's a very interesting fight.
Oh, Sean O'Malley against Dominic Cruz. Wow. Is that an interesting fight? Yeah.
Or else maybe even Chito Vera, them guys running it back. He lost to Jose Aldo.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, if you want to just really legitimately. Yes, Jimmy, say it again.
Legitimately.
Yeah.
you know what? You actually, that's correct. The way you said, I apologize. I was wrong. Legitimately. There's a few L's in there.
Hold on. Oh, I'm lightheaded, Jimmy.
All right, God, you can do it. Try it.
Can I just get my bearings?
Yeah.
What is it again?
Legitimately.
Yeah. No, I'm saying it right. That's how a grown ass man helped me.
You're saying it right. It's a hard word.
Guys, legitimately. Let's cut this all out. No, you know.
No. Legitimately. No,
seriously. Let's get it right.
Yeah.
I'm a grown ass man.
Okay.
Listen, and I imagine this happened behind legitimately, the desk. Yeah. This is why I'm not working behind the desk. Imagine I'm sitting here talking to Karen Bryan, and I'm like, well, legitimately.
Perfect.
Just you're like, please, Michael Bisping, help us. Bisping, sorry. Yeah. Dude, I'm a stuttering.
No, you said it right.
Legitimately. Like, why can't I say it? I always can say it.
I have my theory.
It
wouldn't like it though, Matt. Legitimately.
Stop it. Stop it. Right. You're being mean. No, say it right. Don't be a bully. Say
legitimately. It. Legitimately.
Say it slowly.
Legitimately.
I fucking hate you. Legit. It. Legit.
There you go.
Help me out. I can't pronounce anything.
It's perfect.
I will never be behind it. I've never. This is the only desk I'm ever behind.
Yeah, it's fine. You actually got it.
Legitimately. Why can't I say it?
Well, I have a theory.
Listen, that's special in that way. Tell me. No, we're not leaving until I get the word down.
Legitimately. Legitimately.
I'm going to get Deuces to come on and help me with this.
Legitimately. Yes, no matter what I do, it's not. There's no problem. Fixing this. Yeah, there's three wheels. There's no way to fix this car.
Oh, shit. Legitimately.
Perfect.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. I'm going to see. Know what we're going? We're doing? Antonio, let's look into a speech therapist.
Yeah.
To help out with the show.
Sure.
I'm only kidding. All right, listen, fuck that. And I don't even know why I was saying that shit.
You were talking about something with Marlon Vera, Chito Vera, and Sean O'Malley. There's a lot of good. Dominic Cruz O'Malley is a good fucking fight.
If you literally want to make it legit, saying that you're 13-0, you want to just erase that. I'm not trying to say
that's right.
Then you should fight him again. Put him away or beat him and then say, yeah, see, I told you I didn't lose. Now it's legit. I could have just said that and saved myself the embarrassment.
Legit.
The embarrassment of what I just went through. You know,
Jimmy? O'Malley against any of these guys. Dominic Cruz, incredible fight. Another Marlon Vera rematch I would watch. Moraes, I mean, that fight doesn't suck. Again, that's a little bit high up. Moraes is Rob Font is number three.
You know what I like about him versus Dominic Cruz is styles make fights. And those two, Sugar Sean O'Malley and Dominic Cruz, they both have a unique style of fighting that's just unique to themselves. I'm telling you right now. Like, you look at the way they fight, there's other guys that might be like, oh, that's a little bit like that. But no, it's just the way they move. Like, the way Dominic Cruz moves is – you only see Dominic Cruz move like that. You really do.
That's right.
I mean, sometimes Tim Elliott does some similar, like, you know, there's certain things you could say, oh, that's kind of like Dominic Cruz. But, and then Sugar Sean O'Malley, I mean, even like I was just saying, that look away with the straight right, who's doing that like that? Dude, it's so fun to watch. Like, you never know when something's going to land. You're like, you're not like that. But you're like, you know, it's exciting.
He's a really fun fighter. I was happy for him too, because I like Sean. He's an exciting fighter. And Almeida's so fucking tough. I mean, he really, the fact that he got up after that, And literally collected himself and then fought another 2.5 rounds. Amazingly tough guy.
Tough guy. And I'll tell you right now, he did put a stamp on it with that last hand. Talk about being accurate with his strikes, even in the ground impound.
Yeah, boom, yeah. But he had to do that. He had to. They didn't call the fight. He had to, man.
Dude.
But that's what I was saying about Francis, is that murderous instinct that this is getting finished right now. Because a guy who hits that hard, you'd think would be more tempted to do that. Like a guy like Francis, you would think is be more tempted to want to just drop you and throw his arms up. But man, he literally does not stop until they pull him off.
You know what's scary, man? Like Herb, like he knew it was over. And you see him run to try to stop him getting that last shot in. And it was just too late with Francis. It's like, no. It's like one of those movies, like slow motion. No. You see the hand coming down. It's not like that at all. But it was something like that to me. Jimmy.
He made tremendous adjustments too in that fight. I mean, literally so patient, not rushing in, not gassing in the first. He really, really made some smart adjustments in Ngannou.
The whole main card. Listen, the fights alone. I want to talk about some fights on the undercard in a second really quick. But before we get to that, we talked about Miranda Maverick. And,
yep.
And again, I always like to see Julian Robinson. I really thought that was it was 2-1 with Maverick.
Yeah.
And Julian, I thought, won that second round.
Yep.
But I'll tell you, man, that Miranda Maverick, she's very big, 23 years old, so mature.
Yeah.
So mature. And just, I don't know. I think she's just a beast, man. She got that farm girl strength.
Yeah.
That was something else, man. And that's funny because when she brought that up about her and Macy Barber, that does sound exciting. But, hey, man, I like her take on that. She's like, let's get rid of the older girls. She's funny.
Yeah.
You know, she's funny. I think she just means that. I don't think she's afraid of anybody. She's just.
Yeah.
And listen, Jamie Mullarkey defeated Karma Worthy.
Yeah. Karma Worthy didn't even know how long it took because he was like, what happened? And when the ref announced 46 seconds, he was like, what the fuck? Like he really got rocked because he had no idea how long. I think he even asked Mullarkey how long was that or what happened. He really did not know what happened.
So you're saying he wasn't worthy and you thought Worthy said that Mullarkey was full of Mullarkey. Fucking mean to me, Jimmy. Listen, that we can listen. You can keep in with me not being able to pronounce legitimately.
It has to be.
Oh, legitimately.
Yeah,
I said it right.
You got it right.
I got it right.
Yeah,
but do anyway, you can keep
do it again real quick. You got it.
Legitimately.
Perfect.
Legitimately.
No. That's wrong.
Legitimately.
No.
Legitimately, I'm fucking it up now.
Yeah, you had it before.
Am I fucking it up? I said it right before though.
But legitimately, yeah.
All right, anyway, keep that shit in.
Yeah, of course.
But whatever else.
Metafield over Charant. That was a Devon Flute in the first. I know that Fabio Charant was kind of a last minute replacement. He came in a little heavy. I think he had to forfeit 20% of the 206.5. Yeah. But, Manifield still looked really great.
I was showing my students the other day some escape from the guillotines. So you protect it by grabbing the wrist of the arm that's around your neck. You hug over the back so the guy can't arch back and just strangle you.
Yeah.
And then you walk away from where the head is. You take him down. You end up in that same position. And you could just put that Von Flu on and you could just close that carotid artery, Jimmy. And I love it. I love it. You know?
Yep.
So guys really have to know someone that – you got to know, especially with those guillotines, when you guys between your legs, you know, it's all good. Close guard, even better. Finish up with that guillotine choke. But when a guy is clearing your legs, now not only you're not choking him, you're holding him across your side and you're leaving that arm out for the taking, or you're leaving yourself able to get fucking put to sleep with these carotid artery chokes like Devon Flu.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm just trying to help people out. You know what I mean, Jimmy? Right, Jimmy?
Yeah, I think you are.
Jimmy.
Yes.
You know what know how you get into stuff on like YouTube and like it just goes down like a rabbit hole?
Yeah, sure.
I saw that guy who was the Van Quillagist. Ooh, not bad. I said that.
No. Try again. I think you
Otto,
had
Otto something or other.
And Otto and George. Yeah, he's a very good friend of mine. Yeah.
He passed away?
He died, yeah.
Okay. But he was I heard him on your show and I heard some stuff of that. And he was actually, for people that don't know, he was a, want to explain what he did? He was a,
he was really funny. He was dirty. He was ventriloquist. He was filthy.
With a puppet.
Like, with his material, with his dummy George. He was so funny.
Did he do it with that? Did he do comedy without the puppet? Or no, he just did it with that.
No, just with, I mean, that was his thing. He's a ventriloquist. And, he made me laugh. I did. I spent a lot of time with Otto in my life, a lot of traveling, a lot of driving. We worked together quite a bit.
I'm not trying to bring you down, but
no, it's okay.
I actually just seen that.
Oh, good.
And then, you know, then it leads to something else. Then you're like, oh man, you know, and you're like, this guy is freaking hysterical.
He was really funny. Yeah. Really funny.
Picture, not Andrew Dice Clay with a puppet, but really like raunchy.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like that type of thing.
Really dirty.
But anyway, I like finding new stuff like Warrior.
Yep.
Jimmy, give it a shot.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. I'm telling you right now. What other fights did we talk about? What about
Bubakar Nurmagomedov over Jared Gordon. Also a really, really great fight. Unanimous decision. I mean, he looked, there was no question. He clearly won.
I'll tell you, I like the striking. You know, he didn't look desperate to get it to the floor.
No.
You know what I mean? I like, you know. That
was it the third before? I mean, he had he did some good groundwork. I think it was in the third round.
Oh, yes. And when he did get it down, yeah, man, it's a freaking problem. So I want to see what's next with him.
Yeah.
I enjoy that. The next fight, Jimmy, can you just pronounce that for me? Because I don't want to hurt these guys' names.
Oleg Saichek, yeah.
Yeah, well, Oleg Saichek. Nope. Michael? Michelle.
Mikal.
I'll tell you. Mikal, Jimmy.
Yeah.
He was like just like a bull. And Bukakis being the how do I pronounce
it? Bukakis.
Yeah. Looking to be the matador, but you know, he was storming forward and he got, I agree with the decision.
Yeah.
I do. I thought it was, I like the contrast in styles there. Jimmy, let me tell you something. I enjoyed the card the other night. I really did.
I did too. Incredible. Great night of fight. Congratulations to Francis Ngannou. Really one of the nicest guys we've interviewed. I mean, he's just a nice person. So I'm happy for him and I'll be interested to see who he fights next. I say it's going to be John Jones. I think Jones is nuts. Although to go up to heavyweight, and this is the first guy you got to deal with, this fucking behemoth is the first guy you have to fight at heavyweight, is a very tall order. But they're going to go back to live venues soon, so probably will be in a bigger octagon. I'm assuming it will be in a larger octagon, which will be an advantage. It will be a little better for Jones than it was for Stipe here.
Hey, man, listen, it's exciting. No matter who they put him in there with.
Yeah.
This is like... it's got that Mike Tyson feel, you know what I mean? Back in the day. Like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Jimmy, you watching anything new?
No, not really. Honestly.
Any new games on your Oculus Quest?
I've kind of avoided the Oculus Quest for the last few weeks. No reason. I just got sick of it and I'll go back to it soon.
Well,
you know me, Matt. I'm in and out of good moods, bad moods, good moods, happy moods. I'm all over the place.
Call, when you're ever in a dark place, I'm a phone call away. Not literally in a dark place. Don't call me when you're in a dark place like that. Literally, I don't know what you're doing. But if you're in a dark place in your mind, you can always call me, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I remember when I was I called you when I was upset about something. And
I know. And I'm sorry I hung up on you and said I'm busy. I feel guilty about that.
Jimmy, what do you want to plug, buddy?
New Chip podcast is up with Anthony. Of course, my regular Zia is on. And the great Paul Verzi, who is a truly hilarious comedian, up on youtube.com/Chip Chipperson and Jim Norton and Sam Roberts Monday through Thursday on Sirius XM.
Oh, Jimmy, myself, I'm just on Cameo, much like yourself and Chip.
Yep.
You know, I do some birthday cameos.
Yeah, me too.
I sing. I try to do extra. Like I just like have conversations with myself on there. So I might ramble, but I try to make it fun. You know, if it's fun for me, hopefully it's fun for them. Yeah, that's it. And then besides that, you can see me at Sarah BJJ in Huntington teaching arm locks, Kimuras, maybe getting out of some side control. All fun stuff.
Yeah.
Jimmy, I will see you in a couple days, my man.
All right, pal. See you in 2 days.
If you get back on the Oculus sooner than then, hit me up and we'll squat up.
Okay. I would like that.
Bye, Jimmy.
See you, buddy. Bye, guys.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.